This is real important. I want you to look at this. And this is sort of, boom. Ephesians 5:18. Just flip there real quickly. I want you to see something. If any of you have some basic algebra, meaning like if A is equal to C and B is equal to C, then A is equal to B. You remember that algebra equation? Okay, let's make A, Colossians 3, where it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. That's A. Okay, in Ephesians 5:18, it says something about the Spirit. Let me turn there real quick. Be filled with the Spirit. Okay, that's B. A is let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and B is be filled with the Spirit. Now let's look at what C is. Because back in Colossians 3, when it says A, being let the word of Christ dwell in you, it goes on and said, C is this, with wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Whatever you do, do in the name of the Lord. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Fathers, don't provoke your children. Bondservants, obey masters. Masters, be good to your kids, to your employees. Okay? What does it say in B over here in Ephesians 5:18 about being filled with the Spirit? What does it say? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to the Father, submitting to one another in the fear. Wives, submit to your husbands. Husbands, love your wives. Children, obey your parents. Masters, be good to your employees. Employees, be good to your bosses. Huh. So A is equal to C and B is equal to C. What does that mean? Then A must be equal to B. So, let the Word of God dwell in you richly. Be in the Spirit. Let the Word of God dwell in you richly is equal to being in the Spirit. Huh. Yeah, interesting. The God, through His Spirit, brought forth the Word of God to us. It's theonoustos, it says in the Bible. It's God-breathed. Now, if the Holy Spirit came upon men to put this before us, do you think the Holy Spirit would have us do something contrary to what He wrote? That's the whole crux of what Calvary Chapel is. I don't mean like to talk about Calvary Chapel a lot. I like to talk about God, but the point being is we want to be free to move in the Spirit, but the Spirit's never going to contradict what He says in His Word. This is His nature. This is who He is. And so we want to be open to what the Word says and know that that is being Spirit-filled. But yeah, it's really simple. So often people think being Spirit-filled is speaking in tongues or doing all these bizarre things, and it says here being filled with the Spirit is loving your wives and wives submitting to your husbands and children obeying your parents and bosses being good and employees being good. That's pretty simple, isn't it? That's Spirit-filled if you can do those things. You neglect the things that really count, trying to do all these ridiculous stuff, and their lives are falling apart and can't even hold together the simple things that come first. Isn't that interesting? Man, I tell you what, I'd much rather you guys love one another than be able to speak in tongues, honest to God. Getting along in your relationship is a lot harder. Believe me, I know. So, everything we do is in the nature of Christ. Submit means to align under. It says to own husband, wives, not to men in general. Please, Pat, don't submit to another man. It says in the Lord. If I'm trying to get you to do something that's not born of God in His love for you, reject it. It's just simple wisdom here, guys. Wives, bitterness. Men, verse 19, their bitterness comes when expectations are unrealistic. Now, I shared this in the wedding also to the newlyweds. I said, look, if you are depending on your spouse for fulfillment, if you're depending on your job for fulfillment, or a relationship, or your children, you will become bitter and disappointed, and it will come out in the relationship. Find it here. Find it here, everyone, in every relationship. That's who you're serving. It's who gives abundant life. It's who fills our hearts with living water. And these will work. They'll work. But if we try to find it in this, it'll not only destroy this, it'll cut this off. You see, make it here, and this works. And that's all Paul is saying. Your deepest longings are not going to be satisfied by your spouse. If you put that kind of pressure and expectation on them, you will become bitter, and the relationship will deteriorate. Jesus wants to step in and be the one that satisfies in every relationship. You know, I was telling Doug this morning, the only thing in the Bible that talks about children is to obey their parents, to honor them. What else they need to do while they're under their roof? In the Lord, it says, again. Only instruction in the Bible. Putting unrealistic demands on your children discourages them. God doesn't do that to us, you see. He is an encourager. Prophecy is to encourage, to build up. God wants to speak encouragement in our lives. And what happens is when you put these demands on your kids, it provokes them. They become bitter and angry, and then parents become frustrated and angry towards their children because they're not accomplishing or being what the meeting the demands they put on them. Just love them. Just love them. Our work, our labor is to God. Believe me, I've been in jobs and I'm so upset that I didn't get a raise or that I'm not being noticed for what I'm doing, and I start getting angry and bitter. You know what I'm doing? I'm being a horrible witness to the employees around me. Horrible. But if I'm serving God and I'm doing it as unto Him and not being a man pleaser for eye service, I'm going to find a fulfillment. I can say, you know, Lord, I gave it my best. And you know what happens when we do that and get off all this part of it? He says He promises to give us good favor with people. Amazing. Simple, simple ways. Guys, we're supposed to work. Ladies, it's fine to work. We're not to mooch. Paul says that we should work with our own hands that we might be able to give to others in need. That's the place Christians are supposed to come to. There's nothing wrong with work. God calls men that are working. He called Moses when he was tending sheep for his father-in-law. Elisha was plowing in the field when God called him to get a double mantle of Elijah's blessing. Saul was working for the high priest, taking letters and going across Israel when Jesus stepped in and called him. You think waiting on the Lord, and, oh, when am I going to finally have what I'm supposed to be doing? And you know what? You're going to be waiting a long time. Get out there and work, because God calls us when we're busy. And we're working because He wants people that are going to be busy and working. He's not called us to be lazy. Heaven is a great reward for everyone. And it's going to be a surprise. I put in here that those who know how to package and promote themselves among people on earth are always going to be the most successful in the world's terms. And and you can look at Hollywood and the beautiful people. But what a surprise when God looks on the heart, and those that didn't have what it takes to appear successful in this world are going to be the ones incredibly honored in heaven, because they had a simple trust in God. And they just wanted to let the light shine out of their lives in spite of their place in society. So it speaks to employees and employers both. it's a great equalizer. If everything's being done unto the Lord, then God is the one that is looking. And it's not about position on earth. It's about heart position towards Him in wherever, whatever place He's put us. And that's just the facts. It's the way it's going to be and the way it is.